Good evening and welcome tonight. I will open this meeting by recognizing that we meet on unceded Willistiqua territory and that in fact the majority of our schools meet on unceded Willistiqua territory, certainly all on Wabanaki unceded territory. We have under consent items the agenda you have in front of you, and I've asked to move policy committee report ahead to position just past correspondence. Other than that, are there any other changes for the agenda? Seeing none, I'll have it agreed by consent. And we have the minutes of our last meeting. I have one question, but it's fixed from what I got from you, Carol. So anyone else have any issues with the minutes of our last meeting? Seeing none, then approved by consent. Business arising from the minutes. If I think of it, I'll bring it up later. correspondence. I have no correspondence. Do you have any, Carol?
No.
So, Mark, you didn't have a whole meeting to get ready.
No problem. You received the handout. It should be on the portal as well. We started a policy review. As you know, Stacy had is really taking the lead on this, and I can't express how thankful I am for that.
Oh, I am sorry. I missed two things, and I'm going to interrupt you to do that.
I want to welcome
all the staff that are here supporting us tonight, and especially welcome Stacy Brown, who is the manager of the deck chairs. She has to manage me. And she has done amazing work for us in working on our policies. Stayed up all night one night when she drank too much coffee and looked at our policies, and then spent a whole day with us here going over them, and we accomplished quite a bit in that day with what she started with. So I am sorry, Mark, for interrupting. Now you're on again.
So she's been working on it, and this all has to do with how our monitoring will look, so we have to change policies. So what you have here is just really an excerpt from what Stacy has worked on, and these are, with a couple of exceptions, ready to be approved. Because I only got this out today, if you wanted to take more time, then we can do it at the next meeting, but they are ready to be approved. I'm just going to go through a couple of things. First of all, as far as the numbering, we'll take care of that. There is going to be a reformatting, but if you remember, this goes back 2 years to our governance training, where you had a policy that's overarching. That's under 1.0, CSR1, authority of the superintendent, or single point of connection, the two name options. So that'll be the big bowl. If you remember, the president talked about a bowl, and then in that is other policies, and it kind of narrows down. So that's the concept there with our council staff relations policies, our CSR policies. So that would be the overarching one. You see I did add there, just above it, the old one was role of the superintendent, CSR1. Some of the old wording will be moved to CSR3 or the new CSR 1.2, but we went through it as a committee. Some things we've taken out that we felt were more function instead of process. function's not the right word, but
there were some
operations.
Yeah, there were some things that were more part of your procedures that would be better suited in your governance process policies on how you conduct your business, rather than in the council staff relations. So it was just kind of not really removing it from your policies, but just reorganizing where in your policy book it, that information would fall. So it was just more making sure that that's just strictly focused on council staff relations.
And so then you see the 1.1 unity of control. That was the old unity of control. And it's a little bit, I guess the format is different and there's a little more to it. And then the CSR 1.2 delegation of the superintendent. This is a policy about the same name, but it's CSR 3. And I put that in there if you wanted to refer to the old policy. The only thing we added, and we had some discussion, and I don't know, Stacy, if you'll see at 1.2, the last line I put in italics, something I'd added. That was in our policy, and we had talked about adding it, so I put it there. In my notes, we had it, but we were going to add it in there. I did do a search in the document, and that statement didn't show up in it.
Okay.
So basically, those three are ready to be approved, added, and replace the existing ones. The other two have to do with superintendent performance accountability and district performance. We are waiting for the province. Stacy's working with the province to work on some templates. I included these because they are ready, but we want to wait for the province's action, so we don't want to do it, but you have them. So basically, you know, that's the report. If there's any questions, we certainly are ready, but I know I had a lot of notice to read them, but we are ready to approve them. I don't know what the council wishes, Madam Chair. I'll turn it back to you. Questions?
Questions? Comments?
Any motion?
So the fundamental guidelines and red line in the policy are not changed, just the wording is different.
Stacy can add to that.
I think when the three districts merged, amalgamated, there was some attempts to make sure that there were bits and pieces from each district all included in the policies. And so what this does is try to just clean it up a little bit and remove some of the duplication and reorganize a little bit. But there wasn't any significant changes to any of the delegations or one Mark mentioned was that rather than just instructing the superintendent through policy, that the council can also direct through majority vote. So that's for some of those things where you direct her to do a little piece of research or come back with a report on this or that. It just includes that in there. But most part, it wouldn't be anything new. We talked about the changes to the monitoring. That's a part of the project that the District Education Council chairs have agreed set as a priority to work on superintendent evaluations. And a large part of that under policy governance structure is monitoring your policy. So in order to monitor the superintendent effectively, we have to make sure that our monitoring policies or our monitoring procedures are coordinated. So that's part of that overarching thing. So there will be a recommended template, of course. It's still the DEC's policy. The DEC will have the opportunity to amend or adapt or adopt or reject entirely those templates. But I would, as Mark said, I'd recommend holding off on those two until we have a provincial template that you can consider and make amendments to or completely reject it.
And just to add, I think one of the things Stacy did is she read these bulk of policies as a whole. And so when we read a policy, it's like, well, it it's good, there's nothing wrong with it, and then you read another one a month later. But when you take them all, then you start seeing where that piece really should fit over there. And so you'll, if you were to look, if we were to outline it, you would see there's whole sections that were under one policy and they're kind of moved over here. But it just flows better, and it took someone pulling an all-nighter to look at the puzzle completely and rearrange it. So.
Jane, did you?
Well, I'm prepared to move a motion to move these through. Yeah.
So the motion.
Yeah.
Okay. Do I have a seconder for that? Andy? Any further conversation, questions? Seeing none, so the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Contrary minded nay. And abstentions? Thank you. And thanks, Mark, for getting this out so we have a chance to now have a look at the 1.3 and 1.4, even though we're going to be holding, because there's certainly things there that we will want to look at when the provincial one comes out. And after our working session in November, then we'll have more to look at and consider.
Just the other thing that I was going to mention, I think it's here we would do it. There are reports coming up next month, and we are working on those policies, academic excellence and potato harvest. So those could change significantly, and it would affect the amount of work and the reporting. And I know it's in our planning cycle, but we really should officially, I guess, if that's what the DEC wants, delay those reports just because of the work of the policy committee. If that would be my recommendation, if that's what the DEC wishes.
Okay. Are you making that a motion?
I certainly can.
Okay. Moved by Mark. Seconded.
Second. We delay those two reports.
So we're talking about ER2 and ER7, academic excellence and academic support for students involved in potato harvest. And yes, Andy.
Part of the recommendation is suggesting when we move them to, or you want to wait for that?
We'll know more in November. Okay. Yeah. And
I can have a motion that time for the date.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
Okay. So they're been officially delayed.
Yeah.
So any further questions? Seeing none, all in favor signify with aye.
Aye.
Aye. Contrary minded nay. Abstentions? And looking ahead, it wouldn't hurt to have a good look before our working session at the Quality High School Program Policy and the Academic Excellence one, so that you come into that session knowing what Mark's talking about. Mark, or his committee's spokesperson. Thanks, Mark. So, next we have on our agenda, and I would you like to introduce the staff that are present, or is that?
Well, Denise, I can. For us. Sure, I can. Sean, thinking I know Denise.
No,
I
have no idea.
Sorry. So, staff that we have with us tonight are Sean Tracy, who's our Director of Finance and Administration. Gina Dunnett, who is the newly appointed Director of Schools for the Oromocto area. I'm sure some of you recognize. And we have Ed Hogan, who is the Assistant Transportation Manager for Oromocto. And, oh Lord, Jason Humphrey, who is the Director of Communications. He's not going to let me live that down.
Only see her every day.
That's a bad one to forget.
I know. Oh Lord, brain.
Thank you. Wouldn't have worked nearly as well if I'd done that. But next on the agenda, we have a presentation by the Burton Elementary School Parent School Committee. and I'll leave it to one of you to make your introductions. And now, do you need to hook up to the? Do you have a laptop or?
I have a membership.
Right here.
Yes,
oh,
that's Carol.
Sure. Yeah. Hi.
So I want to take the opportunity first to start off by thanking the DEC and the acting superintendent for allowing us to present. My name is Kristen Brown McMullen. I'm the chair of the Burton Elementary PSCC.
My name is Carrie McIntyre, and I'm a new member to the PSCC this year.
And I'm Michelle Doherty, and I'm a returning member of the PSCC.
So we thought we'd start off with this slide to show you guys what our Burton school looks like. And you can see that we now have new, brand new siding that was put on this summer through a capital project. So we thought we'd show you guys our new facelift. So starting out, because ASDW is such a wide district, we thought we'd give you a little bit of history about our school and about the community itself.
Carol, is there something wrong with your computer?
I think that there's too much stuff on
it. Imagine that.
Regina's is right there.
Oh, and Denise.
Well, we can use Denise's because she's already got the.
Sorry about that.
Always good to have that.
Fine.
It's right on the desktop, Michelle. I'm going to say to me.
It's always better after a little anticipation.
That's right. Yeah. Keep the crowd waiting.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing happened in Stock Lot 2 years ago. That's what we learned from back. Something happened last time, too.
It's a red hunter here.
That's the
Holly, didn't you save it when you worked on it?
I did, but I saved it as Rev 2.
You guys should just all talk among yourselves so they're not so nervous.
I'm just going to take this from the desktop. Because
we didn't anticipate this.
Yes, we
okay.
Sorry.
Outside of Oromocto is the distance, and we are considered a rural community, and we go all the way through to Swan Creek. We do have multiple small businesses, including mechanics, taxes, income tax businesses, multiple farms and growers, including an apple orchard and a strawberry U-pick. Our biggest store would be the Burton Altamar. We have a church as well as a Lions Club. Now, the Burton community is definitely growing. In 2014, on the census, we had a population of approximately 2,400. Our last stat showed about 2,500. You may wonder why this is approximate, and it's because Burton's actually an LSD, which is combined with the community of Gary, which is actually on the opposite side of Oromocto. So it's impossible to get actual numbers through Stats Canada. So these numbers are estimated through the actual local service district based down on population percentages of the two communities. Mm-hmm. On average, we've held steady over the last 7 to 10 years with approximately 10 new house starts per year in the community. So the Burton School was actually opened in 1961. They combined four schools at the time, Burton Barker, Upper Burton, Upper Gagetown, and Cote Hill. These were all four 1 to 6 schools. The kids that were in grades 7 and 8 at that time went into Oromocto, and when they opened the school, they actually brought back the 7 and 8 to make the Burton School a 1 through 8 school. At the time that it opened, it actually had 130 kids in it, with four teachers from one of each of the small schools. Mm-hmm. Over the next few years, the population maxed out at 198 kids for our small school, which is considerable, and as such, they decided to move 7 and 8 back into Oromocto. And this occurred in 1967. Between 71 and 73, the population of school dropped back down to 103, and they actually did allow the grade 7s to come back. But as you see, this was very short-lived, as the population went back up to almost 140 again, with adding back grade 7s, and they moved them back into Oromocto. So until 1987, this was a grade 1 to 6 school. In 1987, kindergarten was officially added, and the grade 6, as a return, went back into Oromocto. In 1991, again, due to overcrowding, Burton School became a K-2 school. So this is just a view of inside. The first one is our actually grade 1 classroom. This is our kitchen, and you can see our new stove that was just bought with money raised from the community. Our library is up in the corner, and this is our small little gymnasium and down in the corner. So the Burton School truly is a community school. It has many active volunteers. And these volunteers aren't just parents of kids that currently go to Burton, but they're also parents and grandparents whose kids have long since moved on, some of who went to the school themselves. Our home and school is very active. We have 3 days a week of hot lunch, one of which actually a parent comes in and uses fresh potatoes and cuts the french fries and then bakes them in the oven to serve with chicken strips. We have multiple fun nights and activities, parties for Christmas and Halloween. We're lucky enough that on our field trips, we can even just walk across the street to go to one of the apple orchards, or we'll drive and share costs with Minto and Chipman and stuff and have concerts come brought in. The biggest fundraiser for our school is a community bottle drive. The trailer was actually bought by the owner of the Altamar, and 100% of the costs as well as running it are all done by community. And you can see in the last 3 months, we have raised $1,500 simply through this bottle trailer, and that's 100% raised by the community. So here's just some of our volunteers in the trailer that the Altamar Barts are in the middle.
Right. I just would like to let you guys take a look at what Burton Elementary's current catchment area is. We just took the map and outlined it here. It runs along the 102. It starts on house number 174 and runs all the way to house number 765. It includes all of the side streets in there and all the subdivisions too. All right. This slide is on our recent capital improvement projects over the past 7 years. So I could just give a minute how you can take a look and just see some of these costs that have been put into our school. Three times the sewer system was taken care of. The two times it looks like there was just general maintenance. The third time was quite a large cost. It was over $93,000, and because it had to be completely taken out and replaced. And then as of most recently, as Kristen was talking about, our most recent facelift with a siding to the school, which looks awesome. The $45,000 we have listed there is an estimate of the cost. All right. The reason why we're all here today, our proposal. We're proposing that you enable us to sustain our community school to increase enrollment by increasing the catchment area to include all of Burton children from sign to sign. If you take a look at this, we basically outlined what we're proposing. We have our current catchment area, the one proposal to have it extended before house number 174, pretty much all the way just past the Burton Bridge. And on the other end is going to go from 765 to Swan Creek boundary. This is just going to let you know about current enrollment numbers. 71 kids in the K-2 age group within the ASDW district. There's 71 of them. 56 of those kids are in our current catchment area. Okay? 37 kids are currently enrolled in Burton this year. I'd like to point out, if you just do the quick math on that, that's 15 children that did not get equal and fair opportunity to attend our community school.
So
motivation for our proposal is, well, first and foremost, we love our school and we don't want to lose it, and we'd like to get our enrollment up so that we're not on the chopping board again in 2 years. One of the things that we hear is, as anecdotal evidence, just from talking to people in Oromocto and teachers and so forth, is that Oromocto schools are at teacher-student capacity in at many of the schools. And so adding more students to the Oromocto schools means having to add more teachers, which is an added cost. So that's one of the reasons we think that our proposal would work, is that you'd be bringing more students back into the Burton area instead of sending them to Oromocto. The second one is French immersion. We talked about this a lot, and we asked to have French immersion brought to our school. We thought we had enough student interest in it through the parents, but we were told that our numbers were too low. So one of the things is that if we could increase our enrollment, we might have the opportunity to offer French immersion as well, or at least have more of a case for it. Now that French immersion is starting in grade one, you would have the parents that do want to send their kids to French immersion are basically having to put their six-year-old kid on a bus at 7 in the morning for a half hour to go into Oromocto. And for a lot of parents, that's kind of scary. And so we find, you know, a lot of them might be saying, well, you know, we're going to keep them in Burton instead of putting them in French immersion. So you lose that opportunity as well. So we know that last year there was 8 kids from the kindergarten class that enrolled in French immersion and went on to Oromocto this year. And we've completed 2 409 sustainability studies, and were voted to stay both times. So we know that we've got the support behind us. Just click, yeah.
Are you clickable here?
No, just click. So the cost to maintain our school, we know, is approximately $23.89 per square meter, which we've been told is low compared to other schools. We've had several large cost improvements recently, which have totaled $177,360 in the last 7 years. So, you know, we haven't been too much of a burden on financially. So our school's in pretty good shape, and we think, you know, it can be maintained pretty easily. Because of the military near Burton, we think that our community is going to continue to grow with young families. There's always going to be new young families coming in, and we don't think that's going to change. The military is not going anywhere, so we've got that going for us. Increasing our capacity will help bring more child care options to the area. We tried to get a after-school program going, but the enrollment was low, and that was a factor in them deciding not to come. If we could increase our enrollment, we might be able to get some more, or at least have some more opportunities for child care programs in our area. And as I mentioned before, increasing our enrollment may give us the opportunity for French immersion in sometime in the future. And we have a very strong community, as we've mentioned many times, strong community interest in supporting our school. We think we'll always have that support behind us. So there's you know, some statements from people in the community about the situation. We hear from people, not just this fellow here, but who we've heard from a number of people that say things like, you know, they don't feel like they're part of the community because they're outside the boundary and their kids don't have the chance to go. So, you know, it would be nice if, you know, they were at least allowed to choose to come to that school. So that's one thing we think. Another thing we hear about is the recreation fees, that, well, I'm in Burton, but my kids can't go to the Burton school, but I still have to pay the out-of-town recreation fees. Well, that doesn't seem fair. So in that respect, you know, people don't feel like they're part of the community because their kids, they're not within the catchment area. Where are they, right? So, and same thing with the French immersion. They want to have them stay in the community, but they don't want to have them bused to Oromocto. So, and we think getting the boundaries, extended might help a little bit with those kinds of issues. So, we'd like to entertain any questions at this time. And thank you for allowing us to come and present to you today. It was very appreciated.
Thank you.
Well,
it worked like that. Very well done, ladies. Thank you for coming. Question I got is, your catchment area, was it changed originally back to that, or was it always the whole community of Burton at one time?
That's a good question.
According to, I got a paper from our MLA, and it summarized the history from 1961 up to 1987, and it originally did include at least that last portion from Swan Creek up to 765. It didn't comment if it included the other portion or not, so I don't know where that line was drawn.
So your proposed area on the upper, on the northern and western side would be the town of Oromocto boundaries, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So those comments that you got were from families in that expansion?
Yes. Okay. Those are directly, it's on Kelty, although I believe all those individuals live on Kelty Street off of the 102, just right beside the Burton Trailer Park.
That's outside the boundary.
Yeah, that's currently outside the boundary.
The new housing you're speaking of is happening in those areas, or?
Some of it's happening in those areas. Others is happening in one of the major subdivisions, which is within the boundaries.
Good presentation. What would be the numbers on the expansion on the back end? Because there
it's
would
currently
be
one.
How much?
One. It's
okay.
One student.
There's only one student on the
back. Yeah, and there's 14 on the front side.
You know, because you could see if this were to go out to the public saying we're looking at boundaries, a number that are close to Oromocto may want to stay.
Right, and that they can definitely have that option, right?
Right,
right now what we're hearing is that because they're zoned Oromocto, they don't realize that they're allowed to apply for Burton.
Right.
So they automatically go into Oromocto and then feel very lost,
mm-hmm.
right? Because they don't have a sense of belonging. They don't realize they have that opportunity that they could request to come to Burton, right? And some do. You know, in my oldest daughter's class, there were three that were from that catchment area that applied. And each year they would wait to find out if there was a spot for them to come back. Right? Because if there was too many kids in the catchment area, they would get kicked out. Mm-hmm. But most don't realize they have that opportunity. So we're simply asking, if the catchment area was changed, most aren't going to be afraid to ask to go into Oromocto, especially if their daycare's there. So they'll still have that option to go into Oromocto without any problems.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives them that opportunity to say, this is your home school, and if you want to come to it, we're more than happy to have you.
Mm-hmm. And just to add to that, that one on the back end is just this year. We have no way of knowing what the following year and the year after that and the year after that will encompass. But we know right now that we're at a disadvantage.
And in 2014, when we asked the numbers last time around, there were three on the backside. Sean?
For your slide, I don't know the exact numbers. I said the expand would be 71. It's currently 56, and your current enrollment is 37 or somewhere thereabouts. What's causing the gap between 56 and 37?
Well, 8 went into French immersion. Mm-hmm. So that leaves basically another 11. And most of those are because of daycares. So because their daycare is in Oromocto, they transfer into Oromocto to be closer to the daycare spots.
Yes. Because I believe transportation will not accommodate the drop-off point. So they physically have to change schools.
So your reasoning is expand the catchment. It could allow for childcare in
right. That
area,
yeah.
And which would
solving
all the problems. That's the
right. So
theory.
when we actually did start a daycare last year,
yeah.
And it ran for 1 month. The big problems with it was one, the daycare that we originally had going backed out in May. So we scrambled to try to find somebody else. By about the end of June, we were able to find somebody. But by then, people in the community grew weary. Will this stay too? So they didn't want to pull their kids out of a pre-existing daycare to chance at a new one. And the other problem was they wouldn't offer before school care. So for parents that need before and after, they weren't interested in it. Mm-hmm. So we did have four or five kids that did do it for a whole entire month, and they thought it was great. They loved having it right there. But unfortunately, they said, because we didn't have anybody else willing to take that gamble when it was a new venture, and there's only limited population, then they did fold after a month.
So, this may not be a question you guys are able to answer, but out of the 11 that actually go for daycare, do they have to apply, actually Jean may be able to answer this better, but do they have to apply every year to go
yes.
out of that zone?
Yes.
So it's not applied once and be continued.
And it's not a guarantee at all.
There's also ones that slip through the cracks. So we know of two that we were talking of who are definitely in or among the schools that did not come to Denise and ask for permission to leave.
Well, I am now.
No, she's not okay, but Terry said you would be all right straddling.
Yeah.
I already told her that.
Max.
I remembered. I didn't remember. Andrew reminded me what it was that I knew I needed to do and forgot. So I am going to, as the chair, take the liberty of inserting in the agenda this item. On what was our meeting date?
October 5th.
On October the 5th, we had a special meeting of the ASDW DEC, and at that meeting, we passed a motion that I'm now going to read into the minutes of this meeting so that it will be public. The motion is that Catherine Blaney be awarded the position of Acting Superintendent for Anglophone West School District, effective immediately, ending August 24th, 2018, with the possibility of extension up to August 23rd, 2019. That was moved by Jane, seconded by Heather, and a unanimous decision. So, announcing our new acting superintendent. A little late, but it's done.
I didn't remember either.
You have to remember to remind me of things.
I'll take better notes.
Okay. So, we're down to our new acting superintendent. Oh, no, we're not. Sorry.
New business.
Under new business, we have the feasibility study. And did you want to speak to that, Sean or Catherine, or do you just want us to? You don't have to. We can talk about it, but.
We basically received approval from the Department of Education for $60,000 towards a study of the schools in Oramucto to look at ways to optimize, I guess.
And the staff feels they will be able to do that starting in January?
Yes.
Yes. So that's good.
So were we misled earlier? I understood that we were going to make a decision where that $60,000 would go.
Because we had three choices.
We had three choices.
And what are the three choices?
Oh, Oramucto was our top choice. That was our number one.
Whose?
Last year. Ours.
What were the other two choices?
Minto Chipman area or Carlton North.
Okay.
Mark?
Yeah.
So it would be nice, considering a recent presentation by a school, that, you know, looking at how that would all fit in, I don't know what they would do, you know, what it would look like, you know, kind of go along that line. I don't know how the study works and the mechanics of it, but.
Burton wasn't in scope for, because it's not a town of Ormucto school,
right?
So it wasn't included in our ask of the department,
right.
Where we did a 409 on it, and it was to remain sustainable. I don't know if we would, because we could, it would be quite easy to come up with a different result, I mean, based on the numbers, but if we were just looking at that catchment, that's something we could look at outside of that, I think.
Yeah.
Then what would be the issue about putting Burton in with the Ormucto school study? With an enrollment of 37 kids.
Like
not a huge issue. So.
Right.
No.
Only that we just studied the area and there was a decision made on the...
And which is fine with me.
The look of what was going to happen with Burton, right? So if we're including it, it looks like we're studying Burton again.
Yeah, and I don't want that. I just... You know, I think you're right. You can provide data after that study's over, but, you know.
And maybe the data from that study will lend itself
will lend us, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, Ernston Young might say, like, there's a new school in Lincoln, a new school in Gary, put a new one in Burton, and a new one in Ormucto West. They may come up with that if we expand the study. but there's no end, right? Because you do have Burton and you have Gagetown, and I mean, you know, that area may need a separate look as a whole. I just think sometimes we just focus and we have to, and Ormucto in and of itself is going to be a great study. I think there's a lot of efficiencies to be had. But when you look at our scope, our French immersion, our enrollments outside that area, but
what is relevance to this catchment proposal?
Yeah.
And there's nothing yet. No, none of those other schools would be in the same position, would they? The other schools are all
self-sustaining.
No, but the
self-sustaining.
Right, but the expansion of the catchment in that area, if you were to even entertain it, would affect Gagetown, right?
Oh, okay.
Well, there's only one student, but still, like...
Yeah, okay. But possible
know.
Future.
The potential is there for impact.
It's probably about maybe doing this study and then stepping back and... looking at it all with that study and
with
probably
that study.
Without complicating it.
Couldn't the study be done and consider the catchment question for as part of the outcomes? Well, it would be, again, this report that we're asking for is an options report. It's not a recommendation report like we've had before. So they won't be coming out and saying, you need to do this,
right.
You
right.
need to do that. We think
right.
this is it. So right. providing options on the town of Ormucto. If we go outside of that, we're adding to, we're going to add cost to the
we don't
to
want
the overall
yeah.
project, and it may take longer. And it wasn't included in our ask to the department. Like it wasn't.
Right.
Yes. So we would have to go back to the chart and see, is it okay if we add this in, you know, and then depending on what the budget comes back from Ernst & Young, if it's over the $60,000, then it could be
could
you, jeopardize.
Could get two budgetary numbers from Ernst & Young. If both of them are 60 or under, we have the budget. If it's 60 or over, then we can not include it, make a decision consciously based on that budget.
I think we've already made the decision, though, haven't we?
Just to our month, though. Can we just do Ormucto with the conversation of there is a school in Burton? I don't want to complicate it, but it just seems like there's going to be some experts on the ground.
I don't see the complication. I'm confused as to why there's complication.
I think if you include a conversation around catchment, you're going to include Burton. I think you have to.
Okay, well, that's the answer. I'm coming to that.
The study's not looking at
but
catchment.
Exactly.
The
facilities,
because
right.
of the age of the facilities in the town of Ormucto, is not looking at catchment analysis at all. So there's limited transportation involvement in, like from my group, and when you add the catchment piece in, then it becomes more resource-based
We seem to be kind of blurring a couple of issues together, whereas when we initially talked about it, we were specifically looking at Oromocto schools, just Oromocto schools. I thought that was what we were saying. That's what we were going to look at.
I think the issue of catchment there might be a much bigger issue than just these two little spots and might muddy the waters considerably.
Because we were looking at Oromocto as its own area when you start getting into your, because they mentioned LSDs and so on, and then, you know, so all of that stuff starts getting kind of crisscrossed and everything. I'm kind of in favor of just, let's stick with what we originally said, and
I thought we included it. I guess that's my thought, was
okay. I thought it was the town of Oromocto that we were looking at.
That's what was presented in our Nature Capital presentation for study, was the town of Oromocto schools, to look at K-8 to see what could be done there to you know, modernize, because the schools are all of the same age as the other school that just recently, you know, received an announcement for a replacement school, right? So they're of the same era, same building issues. So we certainly could make an argument for newer schools for the town of Oromocto, depending on what the what the configurations would be. That would be, I guess, for Ernst & Young to provide us some information on options.
Right.
Oui.
So I think that given that data, once we have it, that would be an opportunity for us to have a conversation with the superintendent about looking at catchment areas. That's her bailiwick, but we could make a recommendation. Don't. That's that face that baby had.
Poker face.
Once she's been in the job for a year, we'll let her know.
So not to belabor the point, the last two studies we had, didn't they talk about, not necessarily catch in particular, but they did talk about student population?
They did. I didn't remember much on catchment, but I do remember that they told us there would be population increase, that their numbers were rising and would continue to rise. There was no doubt that in their presentation.
But I know with the Leo Hayes one, they recommended chopping off this section, go to that school, that school. I
mean, oh, you mean Ernst & Young?
Yeah, Ernst & Young.
I thought you meant...
That was
Yeah, that's a different study.
So that's a different study. Mm. That's okay. So that's what I'm missing. They're just doing a structural study, optimization potentially or something. Okay. It's different than what they did for the...
There'll be components that would be similar to what was in the Leo Hayes, because there were some building things that were more like the south, when they did the south side study.
Right.
And they did the recommendations around, you need to, the suggestion was to build a new school in Hamilton. Like that, there was options around that facility information.
Which they also said, you know, close Kingsley and move them in. That's why I was thinking along those lines about what they would do. But that's fine.
Okay. So do we need a motion on that, John?
No, I just need to be able to tell the department that we're ready to proceed, I guess.
Let her rip.
Okay. Which is in January?
Yes. January. And we're... not on the agenda, but we're also in the middle of the north side study as well, right? Remember that our staff is preparing that for us as well.
When's that expected?
When they're done.
Very good.
Our target was fall, and fall ends December 19th.
Which would be after our December meeting, so I guess maybe January.
We've come a long ways on it, though. We're making good progress. We're at the point of creating the documentation for it. So
good.
So we've done a lot of work on it.
Okay, great. Superintendent Monitoring Report, EL4.
John, you're on.
Okay. So there's a requirement to present the second quarter report. So back in June, we looked at the expenditure plan and approved the budget. At this time, as of September the 30th, our overall adjusted budget sits at $220,954,139. We have anticipated expenditures of, zoom over here, of $220,282,112, and which would leave us at the second quarter, we're projecting a $664,027 surplus at this time. Some of the areas of concern that we have with the budget is with extra EA allotments in our education support services area, where we're funding at a level that's above our, I guess, allotment from FTE from the department. So we put extra resources in there. The replacement costs of our various employee groups. So we're funded at a certain number of days, and in some cases, employees are exceeding those days, or we have, you know, a variety of different factors that contribute to replacement costs. We budgeted for 4% heating and electrical cost increase this year. So depending on weather and a variety of different factors, we could have concerns with our level of funding. And also with minor repairs, that's one area of the budget that's been static really for the past 5 years. And our buildings are continuing to age, and costs of goods are rising. So it's a tighter budget line for sure in that area. So overall, I don't have, like, obviously we have a small surplus, so that's a good thing at this point in the budget, but it's just very early based on September 30th, right? So it's just really the beginning of the school year. So at the third quarter, I'll have a better idea of if there are any potential problem areas or if there's any changes in our budget allotments and things. I'll discuss them further with you through the third quarter process. That's basically what I have for you tonight.
Yes.
Very good. I'd like to go on record as saying that the fact that we're allowed to keep $100,000 is ridiculous. It's based on when there were a lot more districts and a lot smaller budgets. They need to move that to a percentage because it's like threading a needle. It's you know, it's just whatever. So the department needs to change that to we're allowed to keep a very small percentage of our budget. So it rewards our efforts and our efficiencies. Secondly, just, you know, when it comes to school raise funds, I think it's important that it stays with the school and not props up the budget in any way. And it certainly has been. I mean, your staff have been doing a great job. But I just want to make sure that always is on the record. So.
I agree.
Can we address the first item? Or is that still in the works? There is conversation on changing that amount. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay. There is, yes. They're actually looking at a percentage. I wasn't following the point. Sorry. I'm male. anyway, sorry. They're looking at a percentage, and we're just having discussions about. Obviously, we would like to have the largest percentage that we can get, right? We're going to make a change. Let's make it a positive change and give a district with $220 million budget a proper amount of flexibility to address concerns that come up year over year.
Right? Awesome.
Good.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, Sean.
Thank you.
We don't need to pass this report or anything.
I think the third quarter, yes. This one, the obligation is to present it, and then I just send it off to them.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Do I say?
One down, one to go.
So we have policy ELA, which is Communication to Council, and it requires requires the superintendent to keep the council well informed, and you've had the report to review, and this is completed through a variety of different methods, including our DEC reports, which we have a schedule to provide that has been shared. We do this through emails on a regular basis. Media coverage is provided by our Director of Communications, and of course, some memos that inform you of changes in leadership. So are there any specific questions?
Eric?
I'm thankful for all the emails, especially the any articles that appear in newspapers. But I think it's important there are some things that when that article is sent to us, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But some things need to be sent to us before there's even an article. I'm not going to be picky. Everyone's busy and say, you know, but there are certainly some things that we've got to be careful, in my opinion, we've got to be careful we don't just default to this article's been printed, let's make sure the deck gets it. We've got to be, this is going to be a news item. Our policy says if anything's going to be in the news, we should be aware of it. So, you know, certainly I don't want, you know, you or your staff to always be emailing us about everything before it hits the paper, but just, you know, and I don't have any specific examples. There's no complaint, just a kind of an awareness that there are some things we need to know before a reporter knows or, you know, at the same time of other people. So.
And I know there's emails that come out from Jason that talk about when we have been approached to provide comments.
Yeah, just to help with that, Mark, just so I understand, like, because what I do at the end of the day, if I add media requests, that's the one that comes in at the end that gives a summary. I can provide more information if you like about that call, but that email you get at the end of the day, that would have been what we had on that day. And there are days we won't have anything, like that we just won't have anything. So I don't know unless you want me. And again, I'm not trying to be flippant when I say this, but what I'm saying is, unless you're asking me to predict where it's coming from or anything else, that's the challenge. That's the challenge of where it is, because most times we're getting the call, dealing with it as it's happening on that day. So the one I give you at the end of the day is a summary there. But I'm open. I can create that with more detail. I can provide more. It's just
I don't have a specific example. I think, you know, in the past there might have been. It'd be very, very minor. Like once in a while something would skip past us and we're getting the details in the form of an email from you from a news article.
Right.
And we should have got it before, but most of it, like you said, is as happening or whatever. But I'm just saying, you know, I think we need to be mindful. And I don't remember any specific examples now, but
But if something does come up that does slip through, let me know, because then I can figure out the address. Like I said, I want to provide for you the information that we have.
Yeah.
But that's what's happening is that as it's happening, like on those days, those are the days we've addressed those media requests. So I mean, I can provide them to you right after I've had but the difficulty could become, and I don't want to inundate you with emails,
right,
is that I could have an issue and then three other issues afterwards, and then I'm sending you guys all separate three or four different emails. So anyway, I'm just trying to.
No, I think it's going very well generally.
Yeah.
I think there might have been one or two times over the last.
But let me know, Mark, what they are, so then I can
find
out what they are too. Because there could be situations that I'm just learning of them too that happen. Because there are some stories that they won't come. The reporters won't come to us. They'll just run the story.
Oh.
So those are the ones.
I was just actually going to be more of the opposite because my experience isn't as much as yours is, but it's up to me to look at my email and to see what's there. And I appreciate when you send an email out and it just says so-and-so requested questions about the new acting superintendent. And then I've gotten the gist of how you're doing it, because then there will be a specific article from either the Telegraph or the Gleaner or something like that. So I guess the thing is that for me, I find I'm better informed because I'm not on the phone looking at the news, or I'm not reading the paper all the time. So I can open up my email and I can go back. And there's a couple, sometimes it may be two or three days and I haven't checked my email. But then I go back and I can look at the stories you've listed, or the inquiries. I guess it's more you'll say,
yep,
so-and-so inquired about.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that once something comes out, if something comes out, then it'll be based on what was written after the inquiry.
Exactly.
So for me, it's, I find it really, because you came on, you know,
yep,
not long after I was here, or around the same time. So I find it really beneficial because I'm kind of a sheltered person.
So, and I just want to caution you, and that's why I say pick up the phone and ask me. And I'll look at who's in the room. But I limit what I put in because of certain legislation. So that's why I say, if you see something and you want to know a bit more, email me, call me, and I can, you know, I'll provide more detail than what it is. But I try to give the nuance, as Heather said, just that you have on that end. But again, I'm open. I'm providing a service for you guys. You let me know.
You give us the opportunity to ask you clarification questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
at any point in time, yeah. Especially if you hear something during the day, too. Like if you, like, and it can happen, too. And I'll just use it as an example. If you hear a situation happening at one of the schools in your zones, and we're busy with it, call me. Like if you're not hearing from people or stuff like that, call me, because I'm pretty much trying to get the information for everybody too, and I'm the one feeding it through the media. I'm trying to coordinate that, so I can try to help provide that information too on that end. So yeah, just, you know, here to help.
Yeah, sometimes people ask for information and then don't even do a story.
She's not bitter.
There was a cat that was more important that day than us. Thank you. Any other questions on Catherine's report? So I think this might be a good time. No, we already did that. Now I'm looking back to redo things because I'm worried that I forgot something else. We don't have any other committees.
Oh. Christmas party committee.
That's headed at Mark's house. Terry's catering. We are done. public comment.
Regardless of what the, I don't know, you're not from McLean, are you?
No.
same response as Jason.
Yeah. Because regardless of what the city did at the info session, because now we're past that point, you're going to see some cool stuff coming out of our Hanwell Communications Committee over the next 6 weeks. We've got some really neat stuff ramping up, so expect to see some media attention.
Good.
Make sure we stay in the front of the faces of the provincial government. So.
A media battle.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
It'd be fun.
Good. Well, it's good to have that out in the air, because we can't obviously create any interest here. and you know, we want a new school, so keep it going. Is that it? That's it. Okay. Did I forget anything?
No, I don't think so.
It's 7:40. I must have forgotten something. you weren't there, but our last meeting went till, wasn't a meeting, our last working session. Yeah. Our last meeting went late, and this one, and then our working session was late as well. So.
I mean, I could read through some of the policies out loud. I would enjoy it myself.
I've already given everyone their homework, so since there won't be any superintendent reports to read before our next meeting, I expect you will all be reading those policies so that you're ready for Mark's committee's report.
Yeah.
Yeah.
ER 2 and ER 6.
So your next meeting's
going to be. I'll send you a few.
Next meeting, November 16th, here. Here again in December. So.
We're stuck in November.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
November.
November.
December. You know our schedule. Can I just email you one? Okay.
Yeah.
One thing I forgot to ask. Sit down, we're not done yet. We didn't adjourn.
I'm wondering where it is.
Okay, let's look. Just to make sure.
But Catherine, just keep shuffling through your papers as if you're doing something.
While Carol is looking that up, I need to ask you, are you interested in us pursuing an MLA reception?
No. Yes. I always have, but I'm not.
They might announce something.
I hear no, yes. And I hear a yes. I hear two yeses.
That's a
did we
low lights, low catered food.
Nobody tells us anything, even though it's coming out in the press the next day.
What is their bag? That's on the record. We're in public. I'll say
okay.
I'll say
Fredericton.
November the 7th is our private session in Fredericton.
Yeah.
November 16th, the meeting is in Woodstock.
November 2nd, it's here.
Yeah. And then December is here.
And November 2nd is the student leadership, right?
Yes.
Yes. At the Crown.
At the Crown. Yes. And a number of people have committed to October the 25th to being in schools.
Student leadership.
You have not committed, but Jason's going to nail you for that.
Do I send you reminders? Is that what you're asking?
Am I committed to go to Leo A's on the 25th?
I think.
I don't know. I've got to check with
the chair.
So, what do we expect to do?
Yeah, send a reminder, please.
Do you have a list of the names that
I only have three.
Could I have your attention, please? Stephanie and Faith and Jimmy.
Charity. And you. That's
yeah.
The three
so
I
those
have.
Are the three names that he has for the October the 25th.
Oh, good.
And Jane is now on for Leo Hayes.
What's October 25th?
The evening technology.
The
digital parent.
The digital parent. Yeah. I was looking for the.
And so we sent out a list of the schools that need to have someone there. Tanya. But she, which one do you want? Is there one that is close enough for Andy or what else is?
That would be Southern Victoria. Would be
Carlton North.
Yeah. And there's one in Carlton North. There's two in my.
You have that
you
look.
Have
you have that
talking
look on your face.
I have that look. I know it's there.
October the 25th.
I don't have decided.
Oh, okay. So you need to let Jason know if you will go to one of those schools.
I'll go to John Caldwell.
Okay.
Closer.
But what is the expectation?
Yes.
Jason, what is the expectation of us?
You'll be fine.
It's just to be there. That's it. Just so we know. All we wanted to do is make sure we didn't have two go in the same school. That was the only difference there. If you go to one, just let me know so we don't have two deck members. We're trying to have representation as much as possible at each of the 11 locations.
Okay.
But you're not expected to talk or
provide
a speech or anything like that.
Anything else. It's just to kind of show the support and the importance of this
okay.
topic.
I thought that why
wear your name tag so that they know that you're someone important.
We're working on it. We're working on it.
Same thing the police are doing, too. They're just the ones that are going. It's, again, showing the support, the importance of this topic, and the more people that we have.
Well, I think it's important that we get jackets with the branding of ASDW on them before that event.
I
nice
think that
jackets.
You need to remember not to speed going there because the police are going to be there.
Well, they're all going to be branded in their uniforms. We should have some
But they're
branding.
Going to be there, so you can just whiz right up
we can.
Don't worry, I know where they hide.
We can purchase ASDW clothing if we would like to. It's up to us to purchase it.
Yeah.
Bye, James.
Just, I'll get that out of my...
You bring that motion to the
my
table.
My large stipend
November
I
meeting.
Get every month and
right.
yeah. the amount of...
Okay, good. Date and place set, adjournment.
Done.
Wow.
Thank you.
Nice seeing you again.